Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio and with my co-host, Minister Harold Copeland. And we are here today with a new teaching series, and it's titled God's Mirror. Have you taken a long look at yourself in the mirror today? Have you done that? Now, a long look at yourself in the mirror. Not one of those mirrors that make you look slimmer or an app filter on your cell phone that makes you look a way you might prefer to look. The type of mirror that reflects an image you are created in, God's image, that's not distorted. God's image, character, is reflected or perfect and is, and this is who we are to reflect. Don't miss that. Let me say that again. God's image, character, is perfect and is who we are to reflect. You are his mirror to reflect his character to a lost and dying world. You see this as we live our lives, being a hearer and a doer of his word, my brothers, my sisters. According to James 1, verses 22 through 25, your mirror from within will be the reflections of righteousness. Keep that in mind, and you might want to write that down. Being a hearer and a doer of his word, according to James 1, 22 through 25, your mirror from within you will be the reflections of righteousness. So as Minister Copeland and myself, Carnita Smith, we are going to launch this new series today titled God's Mirror as a reflection of being hearers and doers of God's wonderful word. So without further ado, I'm going to pass the mic, if you will, over to Minister Copeland so that he can launch us into this wonderful series titled God's Mirror. Minister Copeland.
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hello, everybody. Shalom. Peace. God bless you. I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our host, Minister Carnita Smith, it's an honor and a privilege to be back in the studio together again. Well, I would like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio. We always want you to know that it is an honor and a privilege to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the Word of God. We want you to know that we love you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for your life. But most importantly, God loves you. He has a plan for your life. And every time you open your heart to receive the truth of the Word of God, God is downloading revelation knowledge into your heart. And then this revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit will take you to God's divine plan and purpose that he has for you. And you too shall stand and proclamate the oracles of God to a lost and dying world. As we said earlier, we're starting a series entitled God's Mirror, which reflect your spiritual identity, your supernatural identity, the part of you that is created in the image and the likeness of God. So we're going to dive right into the teaching. We'll start out by reading our launch pad scripture. And our launch pad scripture comes out of the book of James, chapter 1, verses 23 and 25. Let us read that.
James, chapter 1, starting in verse 23. And it reads this way. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Amen.
Amen. And now we want to read one more scripture. Come out of the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 23.
1 Thessalonians 5, 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. According to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, God's word clearly teaches that we are a three-part being. Very few Christians practice a functional understanding of spirit, soul, and body in their everyday life. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a physical body. And I was one of those Christians. I was living the Christian life out of my soul, which is my mental, emotional part, and out of my physical body, obvious, which is my physical part. And I was unaware how to connect or contact the new me, the me in Christ, which is my spirit man. So I was living a very unproductive Christian life. I had no victories whatsoever, because I was living in the carnal side of me. We're a three-part being. One part is spiritual, and that's the spirit man, and that's the person God connects to, and that's the person God relates to. And two parts are still carnal. That's the soul, mind, will, emotion, conscience, personality, and the body, the physical suit, the earth suit that we walk around to identify with each other while we are in the earth. So most people actually believe, most Christians actually believe that they're only made up of body and soul. And that is not a great belief system concerning the good news of the gospel. It took me a while for my spirit to wake up, or for me to acknowledge that I had a spiritual being on the inside of me, and to acknowledge that my spirit and my salvation was joined together with the Holy Spirit, which we will see that later on in the teaching. And then Holy Spirit and the Word of God came forth by the power of God and began to produce the life of Christ in me. And that soulish life that I was living, I was a Christian by theory, but I wasn't experiencing the beauty of the Christian life. And that soulish life in the physical body was the carnal. In other words, I was a carnal Christian. And I was living my Christian life according to my five senses. What I can touch, taste, hear, see, smell, or feel. And I wasn't walking by faith concerning the miracle that God had done before for me, and something I could not do of myself. So I was confusing my soul and my spirit as being basically the same thing. So on a day-to-day level, the only acknowledgement of Christianity I had was, I knew I had a physical part, and I knew I had an emotional, mental, inner part, which made up my personality, but I wasn't aware of my spirit. So I was living a Christian life that I wouldn't put on my worst enemy if I had any. I finally got my breakthrough from receiving a better teaching of the word and getting around pastors and ministers that knew the truth of the word of God. And just for studying with them, the light came on. Not in my head, not in my physical body, but a light in my inner being began to start to shine. And I didn't give up in situations and throw my hands up and say, why this always happened to me? I began to see the love of God constant flowing in me, joy constant, regardless of the circumstances of the situation, peace. And I found the faith that came with the Spirit of God when God released him on the inside of me. And I began to see a living hope. And that living hope was Jesus Christ. I began to see and believe that Jesus Christ was living in my spirit being. Now, in studying the Word of God, most Christians use a book that we call the Strong Concordance. And the Strong Concordance called Spirit, which the Greek word is pneuma, and Strong's defined spirit as being the immortal soul. And not to criticize any one work, but through diligent study of God's word, being around word pastors and word ministries, it has revealed a very distinct difference between spirit and soul. So I disagree with this particular definition of the word pneuma, because our spirit is the innermost part of our being, and our spirit is not our immortal soul. Now let's break the three parts down and take a look at them. Now the body is obvious. The physical body is obvious. The physical body is the part we see when we look into a mirror. If you was talking to me face to face, you would be looking at my body. However, you will be speaking to my soul, which is my mental, emotional part. And some people define soul as being the mind, will, and emotion. And that is true, but it's incomplete because our conscience should also be included in the soul. And when we put our mind, our will, and emotions, we get that personality that people meet when they greet us. Now, let's look at feelings. A carnal Christian walk according to feelings. And I admit, I was there for years in certain denominations. But one can feel both the physical body and both their soul, mental, emotional part. For example, if I walk behind you and put my hand on your shoulder, you'll know that I touch you because you can feel it. However, I can also touch you whether I'm physically near you or not by speaking to your soul. I can make you glad, sad, or mad. Through my words, I can hurt you without physically touching your body. It's easy to know how you feel in your body and soul because you are constantly in touch with them. And we could take a mental inventory. And our body can instantly tell us how it feels. You know if your adrenaline is pumping. You know if you're tired. You will know if you are healthy or fighting a cold. You will know if you had a headache. You would know if the shower is just right. You see, you don't even really have to think about it because your body constantly feeds you such information. And we can also check our soul and know right away how we're doing. It's easy to tell if you're happy or hurt, mentally worn out or sharp or ready to go or just plain angry. You'll even be aware of fear or depression if it came, because you're always in touch with your soul and you're always in touch with your body. Now, this is the most important statement that we will be making on this teaching. However, your spirit man, the born-again part of you, the person that has received the new birth, the core of your being, cannot be accessed in any natural way. Cannot be accessed in any natural way. You can't use your five senses to see who you are in your spirit man. What you can touch, taste, hear, see, smell, or feel. You can't use the five senses. And you can't use your mental, emotional soul to look in your spirit to see who you really are, who God created you to be. Let's go to the book of John and read John chapter 3, verse 6.
John 3 and 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Flesh. When we came out of mother's womb, we wasn't saved. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And that fleshly birth, that natural birth, is nothing but flesh. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to be born again. And Nicodemus was a scholar in the religious Jewish kingdom, but he wasn't born from the inside. That spirit birth is born of the Holy Ghost. And when we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, God releases his Holy Spirit on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit joined himself with our dead spirit that Adam gave us, and they become one. The Holy Spirit quickens us, which means he makes us alive, and we are born in the Spirit. Our spirit man comes alive. The light come on. We have a new life. We have a kingdom life, a life created in the likeness and the image of our Heavenly Father. And the word tells us by that great Spirit of God, we can cry out, I got a Father. I got a Father. I got a Father. And if you know my story, I couldn't say that, those words in the natural realm, because my natural father was the town drunk. And it was embarrassing to a young child coming up to reveal that town drunk on the corner, that was my father. So I couldn't walk around in the natural realm and brag and boast that I got a father, I got a father, I got a father. And that's why I thank God for the born again experience. God is so wise, because he knows that some children grow up with a great disadvantage concerning their parents. And I was one. I went to school with children that could brag and boast about their fathers, and were glad to show you who their father was. But I wasn't blessed that way. But I thank God through his infinite wisdom, when we get born into his kingdom, he becomes our father. And because I know that I know in my knower, I can boast and brag with the greater of them. They can brag about their natural father, but I can brag with my spiritual daddy. And he's the ultimate father. No one is greater than him. He is awesome. And I can hold my head up today, and I can brag about my daddy. And if somebody said, somebody who knew my pastor said, wasn't that your daddy on the corner of such and such street? Yep, that was my natural father. But I've been born again. I've been born again into an eternal life, that I will never die. I'm walking in eternity right now. I'm living and eternity. For the Bible says eternal life is knowing God and the one who he sent, his son, Jesus Christ. And I know them today. They abide in me. And Jesus said in the book of John, come to me. Come. And learn of me. And I'll give you rest. That's a supernatural divine words. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And you shall find a rest. There's two rests. The first rest is the rest of salvation. The minute we get saved, we pardon from all of our sins. All. And we accept it in the presence of the Most High God. Now that is just awesome, to be accepted by the Creator of the universe, to be called the apple of his eye, to be called my beloved, who I am well pleased. And knowing that all of my sins are forgiven. And notice I said all. Because my sins was many. Romans tell us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And see, this life is impossible to live. I know a great teacher had a teaching called The Impossible Life. It's impossible to live the Christian life in and of ourselves. We have to have that supernatural power abiding in us, the supernatural motor, that kingdom spirit dwelling on the inside of us. So God has called every one of us. He had a plan for our life. And if we can do it without him, it's not his plan. Well, God has called each and one of us individually and collectively to something bigger than us. Our mind cannot conceive the destiny and the plan that he has. And it's only through submitting unto him, submitting to his power, submitting to his great spirit, submitting to his word, that he will reveal that plan unto us by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, there is no connection to flesh and spirit. Flesh, the first birth coming out of mama's womb. But spirit, the second birth being born of God. Being born of God that we may live forever. Now, in this world, Paul said to be absent for the body is to be present with the Lord. So when this body goes on to the ground, to the dirt, our spirit man going right into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, of Abba Father. If we only born once, we're going to die twice. The physical death and the death in the lake of fire. But if we're born twice, we'll die once, but it won't be us. The physical body will die. But that spirit man going to be with Daddy forever. So spirit is spirit, and flesh is flesh. And we simply cannot contact our spirits through our emotions. I had seasons of being an emotion Christian. Through our physical body. And this is a great problem of the Christian life. And not to be talking about anyone in particular. I know a lot of Christians that are still operating through their emotions, through their mental capacity, and through their physical body. The spirit hasn't came open yet. I have a family member. I won't call his name. But he's an intellectual person, and he intellectualized the gospel. And I think that is what we call head knowledge. Get that word of God in the head. And David said, it doesn't work like that. He said, that word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you. The word of God has to take that 12-inch drop out of the head and get into the heart. Now, if we do not understand that spiritual reality cannot be felt, then we will be confused when God's word declares that we have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. And we're going to go to chapter 1 and read verses 18 through 20.
Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he was raised from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Amen.
Amen. That's a powerful scripture. And it brings the life of the spirit man out of us. As we look in God's mirror and God releases our supernatural identity through his word, our spiritual identity, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, we have spiritual eyes. The scripture talking about the eyes of our inner being. He said that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Know is just knowing by coming one with. In the spirit, that we know in our knower what is the hope of his calling. And we know in our knower what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's us. He has placed a kingdom inheritance on the inside of us by the power of his spirit. And look what he says about his power and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. His power exceeds greatness. I think it'll be all right to have great power on the inside of us. But God went further than that. Our daddy went further than that. He gave us exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the work of his power. And this is the same power he wrapped in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So we have the same power in us that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And some people say, well, I can't feel it. No. Now you getting like me in my young Christian walk. I didn't believe it because I couldn't feel it. I didn't believe it because I couldn't five sense it. I couldn't touch it, taste it, hear it, see, smell it. So I didn't believe it. When you think that if we could five sense it, five sense eliminates having to use faith. But the Word of God tells us constantly, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So if we think truth can be discerned through our natural senses, then we'll be baffled when the Bible says that we are a brand new creature who can do the same miraculous work that Jesus did. Let's read that out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17.
Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen.
Amen. In Christ, joined together with Christ in the inner beam, in the innermost part of the beam, there's a new creature, a new creation. One translation say a being, a spiritual being that have never been seen before. Totally different from that person that came out of mama's womb. And you heard it say of somebody who was bad and they got saved and somebody come up to you, have you seen Tom? He has made a 180-degree change in his life. He's totally different. And Tom didn't do that work. That was our Father God through the life of Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we can't feel it, but we have to look into the mirror of God's Word. And look what John says about this new life. John 14 and 12. Let's see what John says about this awesome, wonderful life.
12:14.
John 14:12.
I'm sorry. John 14, verse 12, and it reads this way. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Amen.
Amen. And without understanding spirit, soul, and body, one would search their body and soul and bewilderment wondering, where is that power? I don't really have that kind of power in me. I can't feel it. I can't think it. The Bible is so hard to understand. If one can't touch, taste, hear, see, smell, or feel what the words reveal about them, they immediately be thrown into conflict. And this apparent disparity between your experience and God's word will cause you to throw up your hands in frustration and conclude, this must not be true. But understanding that we are spirit and we have a soul, we're not a soul, And we live in a body. We're not a body. This understanding unlocks the spirit realm so we can experience who we are and what we have in Christ. Since the spirit realm can't be naturally seen or naturally felt, the only way to accurately perceive spiritual truth is through the Bible. Simply take God's word and believe it. And the word of God tells us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You shall receive awesome gift of salvation, where spirit to spirit, where you receive the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwelling in you, where you come alive in your spirit, man. Spirit man, join one with the Holy Spirit. And God's word, which is spirit and life, joined together with the power of the spirit and produce a new life in your inner being. And this new life is a kingdom life, the very resurrection life of Jesus Christ, dwelling, living, abiding in you. And Jesus is saying, by the power of the Spirit, come to me. Come to me. All he that labor and are heavy laden, come to me. And I'll give you rest. I know we are in some hard times all around, all in this country, all in other countries. Times are hard. And it seems as though we can't find that rest. Well, that rest is here. And that rest is only in Christ Jesus. So I know that the Spirit of God is nudging somebody's heart, somebody that's been putting it off for a while, to answer this invitation, this great invitation to come to me, and receive divine rest. So I'm going to get out of the way, and I'm going to stop, drop, and pray. And I'm going to turn the microphone over to Minister Kenita Smith, and the Holy Spirit is going to use her to take us to the cross.
Hallelujah. This is our time, my brothers and sisters, for us to get serious. As we always say here on Mission from the Heart, we stop. We drop and we pray. We stop in the period, in a certain time, spirit-led, for you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We cannot assume that every listener to this broadcast, Mission from the Heart, is a born-again believer. And this is the work of ministry. The word of God, that it will infiltrate into the hearts of listeners. And the Bible says that he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. So this is the cry of those who are in prayer for you, that your ear will be attentive to the call of God, as he has sweetly and gently nudged you over time to this very day to fall on your knees, that's the drop, and pray to him that you would want to be born again. Minister Copeland talked about that just in this lesson, that you would want to be born again in spirit. So we come now extending Jesus to you through salvation. Now, we always say at Mission from the Heart that it's our words, but it's your heart, my brother and sister. Prepare your heart to come to the feet of Jesus in all humility and humbleness and reverence to him, asking him for the grace that he gives us every single day. Through salvation, you will be saved. So let's take this moment and just do what you have been called to do on this day, and that is give your heart to him, to Christ. Anchor your soul. Minister Copeland talked about the soulish man. It craves what the world offers. And now it is time for you to say no more to the soulishness of my body, but I say amen and yes to the spirit man that has been laying dormant, ready to receive the Holy Spirit, where the two become one. Hallelujah. So let's pray a prayer. You repeat after me as your heart, as you've decided, is prepared to receive the free gift of salvation. Let's pray. My Father, who I know is my God, I come to you as humble as I know how, hands, openness of heart, and with an ear to hear. Lord God, here I am, trusting and believing by faith that you are my Savior. Scripture has told me time and time again that you died on the cross for me. I come to you as humble as I know how, saying, forgive me in my words and my deeds that I know are dirty. But Scripture tells me that your blood covered them all, and I thank you. I believe, Father, by faith, that you will live inside of me and be the throne, sit on the throne of my heart. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, coming to you with outstretched hands. Lord, I love you, and I so am thankful to you for saving a wretch like me through Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. According to what you have done today, that you have surrendered your life to God, according to Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth, and we believe that you've done this, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So don't doubt, don't wonder, accept it, believe it by faith, and rejoice with the joy and the love that God has for you, my brother, my sister. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you who partnered with us in prayer for those who've accepted Jesus Christ, that you also have lifted up that loved one in your circle of influence, or maybe that coworker that is on the job that the Holy Spirit has nudged you a bit to lift them up in prayer. God knows what he's doing, and he knows how to use each and every one of us. So I thank you for partnering with us in prayer. Now, those who've accepted Christ, we encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church that you will be baptized by submersion of water. And when you get up, hallelujah, you have let the world know that you are now a child of God, that you believe wholeheartedly in Jesus Christ, that you are not ashamed of the gospel. Hallelujah. That's a testimony in itself. So we also encourage you to look into that Bible teaching church for a small group, continue to be discipled, or a Sunday school class, that you would continue to grow and go in grace, and that others will come to know Jesus Christ through you, that God will use you mightily. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. So we are excited, Minister Copeland and I, for what you have chosen to do this day. This day has been set aside for you to come and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. So we'll continue in our lesson with Minister Copeland as he says thank you. And Minister Copeland, here we are just excited to say thank you for what they have done in accepting salvation for themselves. Minister Copeland.
Amen. Congratulations, congratulations, congratulations. It's the best decision that you can ever make in a lifetime. Now, God is your father. Jesus is your big brother. And the Holy Spirit is the power that is working in you. And Holy Spirit is doing exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think, because he is the supernatural power, the kingdom power that God has given unto you. Get ready for the journey. God has already finished the work, the plan that he has for you. And all he asks you to do is trust him. It's to walk by faith and not by sight. To stay in his mirror, which is his word. And God speaks to us through that word, through his word, the Bible. And now, since we are born again, now since we are saved, we can't go by our own thoughts to try to think what God has for us. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's thoughts is much higher, and that's why we must look into the word of God, God's mirror, to let it reflect this new identity, this beautiful identity in Christ. God has nothing but the best for us. And that's because of his great love that he has for each one of us. And if we do not go by the five senses, that soulish man, I go by that physical man, no matter what it looks like. If the circumstance looks like we're not winning, just trust God. That's what trusting God is. Just knowing that he loves you and you cannot lose. For he's working this thing out for you. And his word says that I work all things together for your good. Because you are called and you love me. If the situation don't look right, that's all right. Faith. Have faith in God and leave the consequences to him. If you see a mountain in your life, a big mountain, get to the foot of that mountain and begin to give God some praise. Amen. Because God will move that mountain. And if you find yourself in the low places, a valley experience, that's all right. There's a lily in the valley. And he's bright as the noonday sun. And you begin to give him praise and begin to give him glory. As we open up with 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In all things give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. Just believe me today. Believe with me that God got nothing but the best. God got nothing but abundance. His love in you is an overflow of love. His joy in you is unspeakable. Peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And God just wants us to believe him above all. And the way we show God that we do have faith and we believe, that rest he was talking about, I'll give you rest and you'll find rest. We just rest in him. The work is finished. God has given us everything that we need. He provided it for us on the sixth-day creation, and he went into a rest on that seventh day. He did not rest because he was tired. He rest because he was finished. And Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, God did the material listed for us, but Jesus destroyed our enemy. He destroyed all the works of the enemy. He spoiled principalities, powers, thrones, dominion, and every evil rule on our behalf. And he declared on the cross with his own voice that it's finished. And he gave up the ghost. And now since we have received him in our innermost being, we rest in him. I said we rest in him. For no weapon formed against us shall prosper. For greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. With God for us, who can be against us? And it's all in this great spirit that our Father has given us, his very spirit. And let's read out of the book of John, out of the book of John, chapter 6 and verse 63.
John 6, 63. And it reads this way. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Amen.
Amen. So that spirit beam on the inside of us, that the Holy Ghost came in and woke up, that the Holy Ghost came in and quickened, came in and made alive. That's where our new life comes from, our inner being, come out of our spirit, not according to the thoughts, the feelings, the emotion, the five senses. which Minister Kenita Smith was talking about, that old soulish man. And that's true. That soulish man connects to the world. That soulish man, the man that Adam gave us, connects to what we can touch, taste, hear, see, smell, or feel, connects to the natural. And our God is not natural. Our God is a spirit. And we cannot worship him naturally. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. That flesh profiteth nothing. And we need to ask ourselves, why do we spend so much time in our soul, in our physical body, when it profiteth nothing? You know what nothing means in the Hebrew? Nothing. You know what nothing means in the Greek? Nothing. This is a spiritual journey, and it comes through believing the word of God, because the word that Jesus speaks unto us, they are spirit, and they are life. That's that abundant life. The abundant life that comes out of our spirit being. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's through the soulish realm. But Jesus said, I come that they may have life. And that life. And that life. More. Abundantly. Hallelujah. And today, you have received that life. I have received that life. And just like we keep our natural life strong by eating natural food, we have to keep our spiritual life stronger than our natural life. And we have to eat spiritual food, which is the word of God. And we have to look in the word of God with the eyes of our heart so that we can receive revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit and not head knowledge. And we have to let the word of God reveal the supernatural truth of God into our hearts. And God's supernatural truth is greater than that that's in the physical realm. It may be a fact, what you see in the physical, natural realm. But God's word is truth. And God's word is the only truth. And God's word trumps and override every fact in the natural realm. God's word, you believe it in your heart, and you confess it with your mouth, it will take you to the highest height, to your destiny, to your real identity. And you will become that person God created you to do. And God created you to do something bigger than you. You'll never be able to achieve it on your own. But now, it's not just you. It's Christ. And he's living in you. And we read in the scripture where he said, the works that I have done, you can do, and greater works than these. Because he went back to the Father, and he sent this great Holy Ghost. And now this great Spirit of the living God is working in us and through us with no help from us. All he wants us to do is make ourselves available and to trust him with all of our hearts, all of our minds, and all of our souls. Won't you trust him today? That the miracle that he has for you today can be manifested. And you can enjoy the goodness of this great salvation that can only be thought of in the heart of a loving God, a God that loves us unconditionally. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. And let me release a blessing upon you. May the peace of God go before you. May the joy of the Lord rest in your heart with an overflow. And may the love of God flow in you and through you, through and through, that others may see this loving spirit of our Father, and they come running and asking, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Minister Smith.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And on that prayer, that blessing of prayer, we will end this, not the series, but today's broadcast. It was just absolutely amazing. And I pray that you have just received and been blessed by with what Minister Copeland has shared with us through the scriptures concerning God's mirror. Always remember, my brothers and sisters, the grass withered, flowers faded away season after season, but as we know, the word of God will remain forever. God bless you.